We're going to take up House Bill 1009. Mr. Nelson.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, members of the committee, this bill comes to you from the Secretary of State, and it deals squarely with the issue of trying to keep our voter registration lists as clean as we possibly can. The first and perhaps most important initial comment that I can make on this entire subject is that we are very limited in what we can do to keep our voter registration lists clean by something called the National Voter Registration Act, or Motor Voter Bill. It's a federal law that prescribes to states what they can and can't do in the area of voter registration. And so as I talk about this bill, you're going to say to yourself, well, why can't we do this? It would make more sense. The answer is probably going to be we're constrained by federal law. This bill does two things. In the first section, we are dealing with those people who are deceased, and we obviously need to remove them from the registration list. Currently, we get lists of deceased people from the local register of deeds and from the Department of Vital Statistics. We would like two additional avenues to try to get some additional names to try to keep the list as clean as we can. And those additional avenues would be probate filings, and then also specifically giving auditors the authority to review local obituaries and remove names from there. I will tell you right now, some auditors are using those obituaries, but they don't really have statutory authority to do it, and some are not doing it because they don't have that authority, and we just think it makes common sense that if somebody's in an obituary, they probably ought not to be on the voter registration roll. The second section of the bill is perhaps a more complex section, and this deals with how we remove names of people that haven't voted in some time. Currently, in each off-election year, each odd-numbered year, we review our voter registration lists in each of the auditor's offices to identify those people that have not voted in any election in 4 years or updated an address, no contact in 4 years. We then send them a non-forwardable postcard. Under the federal law, we're required to try to determine if that person has moved. And so the way we do that is send a non-forwardable postcard. If the postcard comes back undeliverable, then we can send them a second mailing, which is forwardable, and if depending on how that turns out, we can ultimately move them onto what we call an inactive list, and then ultimately completely remove them. But it's all based on this first postcard having to come back undeliverable. If the card doesn't come back undeliverable, we have to leave them on the list for another 2 years, and then we reevaluate and send it out again. It's not a perfect system. We all know the post office delivers things to people that are no longer there, but it's really one of the only two tools that the federal law allows us so far as identifying people that are no longer there. We would like to give counties the option of a second method. Instead of sending out that first postcard, the federal law allows us to use what's called the National Change of Address System. And this is a system whereby when somebody moves and they notify the post office that they're going to move, that information goes into a huge database, and for a fee, anybody can run lists of addresses against this list of address changes. And there are commercial companies that do this. Some of our larger counties are telling us that they could save significant amounts of money if we would allow them to run their list of non-voters against this change of address list. And if it shows that somebody may have moved, then they can follow up with that second mailing. That would be as opposed to sending the first mailing and hoping it comes back undeliverable and then going out with that second mailing. And so what we're doing is asking that we give counties the option to, instead of sending that first mailing, to run their list of non-voters against this national change of address list, and if there's an indication they may have moved, then we go from there. It's simply a cost-saving possibility for some of our counties. Is the national change of address system perfect? No. I visited with my counterparts in other states that use it. It's not perfect, but neither is our current system. And we think we just ought to be able to give counties the choice of which one they want to use and which one's most economical. Be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Nelson, how many other states are using this system now?
I can't tell you how many are. I know that a number of them are.
Representative Lentz.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In this bill, it says on line 3 and page 2, you may remove names published in an obituary. Are you going to specify what type of obituary, what newspaper? Is this the legal newspapers? Or?
Mr. Nelson, would you care to respond?
If I might, no. They can use any newspaper they want to. You know, typically it's going to be the local newspaper. It doesn't need to be their official paper. Any obituary that they would come across. And occasionally, you know, people will, you know, that work with registration lists will come across dead people on the list, and they may have an obituary for them. If somebody brings an obituary into the auditor, we think that ought to be sufficient in order to get the person removed. I'm not worried about fraudulent obituaries, I guess.
Representative Roden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I had one comment and question for you. I know many of the representatives that had elections this year can testify to the fact that we had a lot of return mail. And I was curious if you have any idea how much, to what extent you doing this would clean up your list of registered voters, percentage-wise.
Mr. Nelson.
Unfortunately, the answer is going to be not much. We will get some additional dead people removed, but most of the bad addresses that you're going to encounter are people who are not deceased. They're people that have moved and choose to remain registered in your district. This bill is really not going to do anything to help that. We're really constrained under the federal law as to what we can do in that regard. Let me just make one overriding comment. Federal law says that once you're registered to vote legally in a location, and state constitution says this also, once you're registered, you can remain registered there as long as you want to until you choose to register elsewhere. And that's a lot of what you're seeing there.
Additional questions?
Madam Chairperson.
Representative Funhoff.
Just a question. It has to do with page 2 on line 3 about removing names to the obituary. What if you have individuals in the community that have the same name? I'll give you an example. My name is Jean M. Hunoff. There is another Jean M. Hunoff in my community approximately at the same age. How in the process will you prevent so whichever one of us expires, the other one doesn't get off the list?
We think the auditors will be very careful about that. You know, the similar situation, if they get notification from the Register of Deeds or from the Department of Vital Statistics now, they've got to be very careful that they get the correct one removed. I have heard of a situation or two where the wrong person does get removed. And if that happens and you go in to vote, your local election board is going to contact the auditor and say, I've got this voter here that swears she's not dead. What's the deal? And the auditor is going to research, going to discover what the mistake was, and they're going to let you vote. I mean, you're going to be able to vote if a mistake like that's made. It might take a few minutes, but you will be able to vote.
Representative Hennies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Nelson, is there no reconciliation between the state Bureau of Vital Statistics and the death certificates that are filed and the voting lists, or any way to do that?
Well, right now it's required that as deaths are recorded with the state, that information goes back to the county auditors, and they use that to remove dead names, or, you know, the folks of the names of deceased people. But it's not a perfect system. If somebody, you know, may be in a different county, or they might die out of state and it doesn't get recorded here, there's some holes in that system. And so what we're looking for is a couple additional ways of getting those names.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. With this change of procedure as far as either sending out the non-deliverable postcard. Now, would a county make a decision to go one way or the other, or do they have the option of choosing between those two different methods at case by case?
It would be my opinion they would have to go one way or the other. To mix them wouldn't make any economical sense, and if anybody asked me about that, I would tell them they could not do that, because then you run the risk of treating this set of voters differently than this set of voters, and that's the one thing we absolutely can't do. Everybody's got to be treated the same within that county.
Additional questions? Representative Mitchell.
Thank you. I just want a quick review if I'm understanding this correctly. Presently, the Department of Health, the Register of Deeds, and the Clerk of Courts are all required to notify of deaths. What you're asking for is adding to the Clerk of Courts job their probates and then this additional obituary. But am I understanding right, you have Department of Health, Register of Deeds, and Clerk of Courts all reporting, and you still have unreported deaths?
Right now, we've got Department of Health and Register of Deeds reporting. The Clerk of Courts report currently is limited to those that are declared mentally incompetent and those that are declared felons. And so we're going to add the probate and we're going to add the obituaries. And, we hope to fill some of the holes. We do not have a perfect system in removing dead people.
A follow-up question, Representative Mitchell.
Yeah. Have you identified what the difficulty is with the entities that are presently required to do that it's not occurring?
The two things that we run into is if they're not aware of that person's county of residence, we may not get it, or if they die out of state, we may not get it. Those are the two that have been related to me. We really think the obituaries are going to be the big one here, because everybody seems to know where to publish an obituary, and in a lot of cases they'll publish it in a number of the places where the person has lived, and so we're hopefully going to catch the county where that person is.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Please note, Committee 2, I'm allowing a little more license today. We're new. We only have two bills, and so we're being a little more lax in allowing questions in the timeline also. Anything you care to add, Mr. Nelson, in reference to this bill?
No, thank you.
Are there further proponents? Proponents of House Bill 1009. Seeing none, are there any opponents? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1009? Seeing none, we're close to committee discussion and or action. Representative Lentz.
I move to pass.
Representative Lentz moves to pass. Representative Hansen seconds that motion. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye. 12 aye votes, no nay votes. House Bill 1009 goes to the floor, do pass.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hennies.
Madam Chair, I move that this go on the consent calendar.
It's been moved by Representative Hennies, seconded by Representative Lentz. This go on the consent calendar. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. House Bill 1009 goes to the floor on the consent calendar, do pass.